Dr. Judy, I'm so excited to have you on this segment of Regenerative Medicines on the Regenerative Medicine Summit. So I want to focus, I mean, you are like the expert when it comes to endocannabinoids and the impact on the immune system and regenerative medicine, cancer. So tell me a little bit, so I understand what endocannabinoid system is and what it does in the body.
Okay, so the endocannabinoid system, endogenous cannabinoid system, is basically what I call the dimmer switch on inflammation. It's a series of cell sensors, either channels or 6 or 7 transmembrane receptors. So they cross the cell, the nuclear membrane, the cellular membrane, and there are even internal cannabinoid receptors. And I'm always thinking about the receptors. I'm thinking about the sensors. So what they do is they sense danger associated molecular patterns, or they sense pathogen associated molecular patterns. So they're the key in the innate immune system for regulating the switch between the hematopoietic stem cell, thinking about regenerative, and the mesenchymal stem cell. And at the heart of the switch, so the mesenchymal stem cell does growth. You know, so the CB1 receptor, cannabinoid 1 receptor, is the primary receptor in the brain and in the nerves. So that's what's being developed very early on. So the first time that, and the last time, because these phytocannabinoid, plant cannabinoids, were outlawed in our environment in 1938. The last time most people see their endogenous cannabinoids, 2-AG is one of the signaling molecules, and anandamide is another. And anandamide in Sanskrit means joy. And so breastfeeding. So when the mother is breastfeeding, everybody's euphoric, the baby's happy, no pain. It's just calming, and develop that sense of wellness and well-being. So things like itch, anxiety, hot and cold pain, any kind of pain, are all sensed by these sensors, these endocannabinoid sensors, and there are hundreds of them. But primarily CB1 is in the brain on the mesenchymal stem cell, and CB2 is the inflammatory, the on-off switch. When there's danger or a pathogen, the organism goes away from development, and it drives over to turning on the hematopoietic, the blood stem cell, by way of TGF-beta. So TGF-beta is the master regulator of hematopoiesis, of the blood stem cell. So it says make eosinophils if we've got a problem in the gut or the throat. Make macrophages, send fire trucks to the fire, chemokines like CXCR4. And those, which is the metastases signaling receptors. So when a cancer is metastasizing, that fire truck is going to the fire. Well, if you've got a lot of inflammatory stimuli, toxins, they turn on the inflammatory CB2, and they go away from the development of the organism and go towards putting out the fires. Send the fire trucks. Where do you need to go? Do we need to go to the lungs, the alveolar macrophage? Do we need to go to the brain, the microglia? Do we go to the liver, the Kupffer cells? So it's signaling from the central location in the blood to recognize danger-associated molecular patterns are energy outside the cell, ATP, because ATP is a signaling molecule that's your energy molecule also. So when you're being poisoned, that signaling molecules, TGF-beta, will act through the cannabinoid 2 sensor and say, turn it on. And it'll turn ATP to ADP to AMP to adenosine. And adenosine feeds back and says, okay, turn down these ecto, and they clip the sensors off the cell surface. So these ectoendonucleotidases is what they're called. And they just clip the sensor off and say, that's enough. But see, when we're getting so many stimuli early in life, and we stop feeding the endocannabinoid system. Now you see the development of anxiety, depression. They turn on that inflammatory cytokine storm, and we don't turn it off because we can't turn down the dimmer switch. So we've lost the ability because of all the toxins and poisons, particularly the vaccines injected before a baby's developed fully, because they're essentially every organ system of the body has a resident stem cell macrophage, and that's controlling the immune system and the communication between the endocannabinoid system and the immune system, the dimmer switch on inflammation. There are sensors in your cell membranes that tell you you're in trouble, move away from the development of the organism and put out the fire somewhere. But unfortunately, we can't put out the fire because we took the plants out of the phytocannabinoids out that used to be food out of our environment. So we're trying to put them back and appreciate the role of the communication between the immune system and the endogenous God-given cannabinoid system for calming everything down.
So these plants that we have, you know, like, you know, hemp, and there are other plants I know that also provide some cannabinoids as well, like echinacea. And so these plants were there pretty much to support us when the endocannabinoid system was under stress, you know, when we are dealing with pathogens or chemicals, heavy metals and so forth, so that we then have a chance to turn on some of these, you know, CB1 or CB2 receptors to balance out, you know, from the impact. So it was kind of like a God-given, you know, tool that we could use during that time.
Exactly. It's food, and food is medicine. I like to tell the story, the natural ligand of a very important, and I should say it's a lipid signaling system. That's why they're in your cell membrane, a lipid bilayer. So it's a fat signaling system. So we store these toxins in our fat, and the plants are the best heavy metal detoxifier. So in nature, you will see this beautiful rose garden or beautiful lemons, and you'll see it lined with the cannabinoid plants, and they're pulling the toxins out of the soil, and your plants become more nutritious as food. And without these in our soil, we don't have nutritious food. So there's a particular hot, cold pain sensor called TRPV1, transreceptor potential vanilloid. Whatever, they name these things so bad, but the natural ligand is hot chili peppers. Well, a long time ago, one of our friends, Connie Faltineck, and we have this in our last book, Ending Plague, went to work for Merck, and they were blocking that signaling system, blocking TRPV1 so that they could help burn victims and the pain of burn victims. And you literally, fortunately, they didn't bring the drug to market, because you literally could put your hand in the fire, watch it burn, and you die before you felt anything. So thank God Merck didn't bring that drug to market, because what we realized and what we know for a fact with all of the sensors on our cells, it's not a block it situation. It's not an isolate. You want the whole plant. They call it an entourage effect, because they're on-off switches in our body. We have fatty acid acyl hydrolases. They literally just clip the molecules so it doesn't signal anymore, and they break it down. So you can potentiate those to keep the sensors up. And so we work on those ways to stimulate our own. So it's a fascinating, really, lipid signaling system that was just identified in 1994. So we've been working very hard to take, because of the laws, to take our knowledge of terpenes, which all cannabinoids are a class of molecule called terpenes, but not all terpenes are cannabinoids. So for instance, IPAs, hops, hops, lemons, limonene, linalool. So as a natural products chemist by training and passion, we like to take some of the other terpenes and stimulate the tickle the receptors, stimulate the receptors. You don't need the THC. So for instance, we use beta-carotene, which is a fabulous dietary terpene and endocannabinoid trigger. So we'll make formulations that take out all the THC because this is what troubles most people. We literally legislated joy out of our lives, and people are really upset. Cancer patients, I gave one lady, she said she was vomiting from chemotherapy and the Zofran wasn't working. So I gave her a cannabinoid formula and with beta, an isolate with beta-carotene in it. And I gave her a non-alcoholic IPA. And she said, I don't like beer. I said, it's anyway. So later on that, or the next day, she called me and she said, I decided to have red wine instead of beer. And I had the most unusual high I've ever had. And I said, that's a bad thing. So we've just different kinds. TRPA is like a hammer sensor, and just fascinating how you can mix plants and modulate this endocannabinoid system without smoking or actually poisoning yourself, which is a really big problem because we just can't. Smoking is making it a drug. That's not how God designed it. And then it will drive the CB1 receptors, which are primarily in your brains and through your nerves. And that'll dysregulate things even more. And when you just take the stems, you can't use the stems. They're detoxifying all the glyphosate and heavy metal and things like that. So you really want to know your formulator when you're using cannabinoids as medicines and as foods. But we've healed so many cancers. We do so well with just a cannabis juice. Freeze ethanol extracted. We can't extract lipids with water. We just can't. We have to use different alcohols, but we can pull the alcohol off. So we use the terpenes to synergize, like in the IPA beer. And so I said, drink the one I gave you. And she did, and it helped. So no more radiation. So my job in chemistry over the years at the National Cancer Institute, the 22 years, is just use food as medicine and support nutritionally the chemotherapy. And then you could use it at lower doses because you're taking advantage of synergies of these products. And that's exactly what we've done. And we've made some fabulous formulations. And we effectively get cures of cancer as long as we're using that cannabis juice cold extracted. It's going to detox the chemotherapy. So we just drink it down, just a shot of that. It tastes better than wheatgrass juice. It really does.
I've tried it and it does taste better. Yeah. But it's pretty green.
It's pretty green.
Yeah. Yeah.
I chase it with like a vegetable juice or a celery juice. And it when you feel so much better and you know you're healing, you can shoot just about anything down.
Absolutely. So for people then doing chemo, I mean, when is an appropriate time? Because obviously you don't want to detoxify the chemo immediately, right?
Right.
I mean, so you want the chemo to act.
And you definitely don't. It can inhibit the P450 system, mm-hmm. and you don't want to do that. You want the drug to stay in your system long. You don't want to go break it down. So there are some things that'll actually enhance chemo in a bad way, or make it so that it doesn't work. So what we tend to do in chemotherapy is we take it prior to getting ready for chemotherapy. So you've got all the rest of the toxins out of your body. And then we nutritionally support with, clean greens, real clean food, really clean meat, you know, because all animals and plants have cannabinoid systems. I think it goes as far back as lizards and things. And so they have that dimmer switch and that sensor switch. And so you just take advantage of eating foods that are rich in good, clean fats. You want that membrane of your cell, because when you have cancer, you're going to see a very low cholesterol, which most people would think is good. And the minute I hear 134, I say there's a tumor somewhere. And everybody's like, yay, I got my cholesterol done. And it's like, no. And so what the first thing you want to do is eat as much healthy fat as you can and support it. And we do coconut oils and some nice lavender oils, essential oils, do an awful lot on the skin. Because I like to do that. You want to stop eruptions. If you get chemotherapy burns in your mouth, we make a formulation out of camel hump fat. Mm. which has nanobodies and B vitamins and a lot of other healing things. And we've seen the herpes lesions, the infections that will pop when you cripple the immune system with the chemotherapy. And we can clean, the people are in so much pain they can't even. And all we do is put that cannabinoid and have them eat. And I mean, it's camel hump fat, so it tastes terrible. But boy, when those sores go away,
you don't care.
So we tend to prepare the cell membranes, eat a lot of healthy fats, avocados, olive oils, things like that. And then if you deliver with a capsule, Chris Shade at Quiksilver Scientific makes a fabulous product that dissolves at a certain pH. So it's right near the hematopoietic, the blood stem cell and the bone marrow. So if you can deliver those areas, so depending on the kind of cancer, with prostate cancer, ovarian cancers, we'll use suppositories. So we deliver the formulation where we want it to go. And again, always just separate the chemotherapy by a few days, knowing the molecular mechanisms, the half-life, the pharmacokinetics of your drugs, you can keep it well. So with radiation, it's kind of like right away. Stop the radiation burns, allow it to work. But even if people don't use it at all, we've cleaned up such amazing radiation burns, and yet the MDs won't use it. And so they're like, that's a miracle. And somebody will say, and my friend will say, and a little weed. And I say, and a little hump fat. And the guy didn't even miss a beat before this oncologist before he knew me. And he said, you know, okay, where'd you get the camel? And I said, Santa Monica. You know, there's a company in Santa Monica. And so everybody was laughing. And he said, well, you didn't need to come in here. And she said, I want to show you for your patients. And he said, oh, they'll never accept that. So it's pretty, even today, we do it every day. So if we can convince the patient to support, this is just nutritional support. There isn't anything I don't use that's food. I don't heat anything up. And we just deliver it in a capsule form. If we, at a certain, that the capsule dissolves at a certain pH. Suppositories are really great for prostate cancers, ovarian cancers, uterine cancers. They're great for calming and sleeping. With kids, a lot of tinctures that just under the tongue, hold it there as long as you can. There's almost never a bad time, because that if you put the dimmer switch on the inflammation, the chemotherapy can be more targeted and you're not in pain and you don't have the side effects. And that's what's so fabulous about it. As adjuvant therapy. It's just fabulous.
And cancer, I mean, it's an inflammatory condition. So if you kind of put a kind of shut down that inflammatory, those inflammatory drivers, then, you know, the chemo doesn't have to deal with so much.
Right.
You know, it can just focus on the small little areas where the cancer is, rather than all the different areas where the cancer is moving to, you know, because of that inflammatory signaling that's taking place. So using cannabinoids and to shut down those drivers, you know, is huge.
Yeah, that's that CXCR4, that's a key metastatic sensor. And so there's literally crosstalk between that membrane receptor and the cannabinoid receptors. So the opioid receptors also crosstalk. And if you use the opioid, you're driving the inflammation. If you use our God-given cannabinoid and you can swamp out the opioid pain reliever, so then you will literally stop the metastasis. That's what CXCR4 does. It spreads, sends the fire trucks to the fire. Dimmer switch. Don't want to shut it down, because a little bit of inflammation is what you're causing, and you won't know, the body won't know where the fire is and what is the appropriate flame retardant. So it's a retardant, it's a dimmer switch, but it's absolutely fabulous and part of a therapeutic. It is not just part of a palliative arrangement. It's part of a therapeutic that can use properly, be part of a curative strategy. And I even like to use the words cure. We have a friend of ours, we've been working with her about 5 years, multiple myeloma, which you know is a cancer of the bone marrow, and then breast cancer on top of it. And all her bones were broken. And it's not the only thing we use for nutritional support, but it was the primary thing, because you've got to get out of pain. You've got to get to sleep. The sleep, CBN is one of the cannabinoids that's so important. Cannabigerol, CBNs, when you really know your family members, could target them. It's actually a lot of fun. That's the fun I get out of chemistry. That's my passion in life is just, you know, playing games with chemistry. I'm your that's what I do.
Well, I mean, that's what the body, I mean, it's just chemistry, and that's how the body communicates, signaling, receptors, and the lock and key processes. But tell me a little bit about, you know, because you have CBD, I mean, that's what most people know, right. But now you've talked about CBN, and then we know CBG, THC. I mean, and THC. So what are the different components that people should know about and when to bring in what?
Yeah, well, there are really hundreds of them. CBD is primarily for the CB1, the signaling molecule for the CB1 receptor. So that you're going to hit your seizure disorders, that mesenchymal stem cell. You're going to turn up the CB1 on fat cells so you can store the toxin so it's not released in the blood and driving.
And these
that.
Are all the brain and neurological, correct? All the CB1s, anything,
for
anytime
seizures,
you think of
it. All the CB1s are for seizures, and it's critically important in bone, which is why I mentioned multiple myeloma, because the switch is a NF kappa B, an on-off switch, nuclear factor kappa B, which it also drives the production of antibodies. So this is why vaccines the way they're made and where they're used, dysregulate that endocannabinoid system, because it leaves you over in that stem cell, that TGF-beta, saying there's a flame somewhere, I've got to put it out. And the RANKL, which is receptor of activated NF-kappa B ligand. So the sensor is the ligand. And so there's even question marks. We don't even know what blocks that, but you can actually generate brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which grows new neurons, and we could put new myelin sheath on there. So,
and that's where the CBD is, CBD for, because of the CB1 receptor.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And then you have to turn down CB2. You don't want CB2 around. You don't want THC, because that's going to drive more towards CB2. And so that's why it's psychoactive. You want to target CB1 for seizures, for brain injuries, for brain trauma. So you need only CBDs, and you can do that from hemp. Say even for football injury, head trauma, PTSD. That's really good for PTSD. CBN is more for sleep. And it's just, they're just, the N has different forms on the derivation of all the compounds. There are hundreds of cannabinoid receptors, and they call them orphan receptors right now, because, you know, they don't have parents, but we understand.
They're still there, even
they're
though
still
they're
there.
Orphans. Yeah.
Even though they're still orphans, they're still there. And it's just because we don't understand and haven't taken time appreciate them. But CBN is really important for sleep, and it's going to crosstalk that NRF2 pathway that is important as well. So it's mTOR, the mammalian target of rapamycin, is eating energy, metabolize food. So in the pancreatic cancers, we can do a lot to heal in pancreatic cancers, even type 1 diabetes.
And that would be the CBN.
That would be CBN and a little mix of CBN, CBD, and THC. So you want to tickle the CB2 receptors to leave enough inflammation on to have the fire trucks actually go to a fire. And that's an issue if you can't formulate it that way. So it's just there are many, I mean, in some of these plants, like we only know hemp. Well, hemp's known for making fiber and rope. So that will drive fibrous conditions like cataracts. You don't want that. You don't want hemp. There are some other strains. We use some strains that are 50-50 THC and CBD, the primary cannabinoids in those plants. And the 50-50s are just fabulous solutions for some of the cancers, especially the inflammatory cancers, things like multiple myeloma they end up being deficiencies. You only make one antibody. Is multiple myeloma, kappa, lambda chains, it doesn't matter really, but it's just like, instead of making antibodies for everything, you can't make antibodies. And we're seeing this with the COVID shots, in vaccine injury, one of the primary injuries and problems is you so dysregulate your innate immune response by injecting and bypassing these receptors, because you bypass a lot of the signaling if you inject anything directly into the blood, because most of the cannabinoid receptors are on those macrophages in the skin at mucosal surfaces in the gut. So when you inject directly in the blood, you're missing a lot. And that's why you've lost that regulation. And it just turns up the fire to where we literally can't make it. So we've got, that's why we're seeing outbreaks of measles and other things, because you've turned off the plasmacyte to a dendritic cell, which makes it can't make the type 1 interferon, which tells the B regulatory cell what to do. So the orchestrators of the immune response are the monocyte macrophage. And then those are the key, what, where, when, and how much. And it's just a matter of, are the sensors on the surface or not? And so upregulating them, unfortunately, most of ours are downregulated them because we haven't seen them in so long, because we don't control the pain. We don't get enough sleep. And if you can't sleep, you can't heal. And so this is the biggest, most important thing I think the cannabinoids are good for is sleep. Anxiety is a kind of pain. Depression is that same cytokine storm that would result in COVID or Alzheimer's or autism or ME. It's not a pathogen. It's the dysregulation of the sensor. You know, the pathogen may be the trigger, but once the disease engine starts, then you can't stop. The fabulous news is that, you know, since 1994, there's been a tremendous amount of research done, and most of our tax dollars go to Israel to pay for that research. Unfortunately, because we have to maintain that lie that it's a Schedule I drug. So, no, it's food and it's a plant. And
so most of the research is actually coming then out of Israel in this field then.
Correct.
Is that okay?
Absolutely, because here in America, you're only allowed to use cannabis from a source at University of Mississippi, and it's laced with glyphosate.
No.
They dry it with Roundup.
Yeah, yeah.
And it can't do it.
No.
And so you can't. So we're not allowed to use our own formulations to do research. So we basically have to do, you know, ends of one, and learn from those. So we've got a lot going. We've affected a lot of cures and can appreciate even how that regulates different parts of the innate immune response, like DNA methylation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important. The on-off switch of genes.
Yeah.
Just when does a gene go on and when does it go off? You turn it off.
And so the cannabinoids then play a role in that to kind of activate, because we always talk about the epigenetics, and we know that cancer, you know, the genetic aspect of cancer is maybe like 10% if we're shooting on the high, you know, maybe 1% is a 1%.
Think about Burkitt's lymphoma.
Yeah.
And HPV,
uh-huh.
You know, cervical cancer, 1% is, yeah, Burkitt's lymphoma with EBV,
yeah,
DNA virus or herpes virus. And, you know, 10% is mononucleosis, maybe even 5%. And
yeah,
most of the rest of the people are healthy.
Yeah.
The healthy people have the good endocannabinoid systems. The people without, with Burkitt's lymphoma, are so dysregulated. But we can still do things about that if we deliver that.
By supporting the cannabinoids, we are then in essence kind of protecting ourselves from cancer, because we are protecting our genetic material, which means that they are less likely to become dysregulated. And then the cell then become dysfunctional and then, you know, start to replicate in a dysfunctional way. So
right,
by keeping that methylation system going the way that it's supposed to, and then we're in essence protecting ourselves from being cancerous.
Correct. It just tells you the normal immune responses. And see, your innate immune response, the natural killer cells, another type of innate immune cell, they scan all your cells all the time, and they're looking for a stop sign called a killer inhibitory receptor, KIR, and there are millions of those too. Another sensor that says, stop, don't eat me. Because if it doesn't see the stop sign, it's going to gobble it up. So you see, the endocannabinoids are able to, are the sensors in the cell that say everything's fine. But when that flame's on and you're going into apoptosis or necrosis and the cell's dying, that sensor's not there, the stop sign's not there. So your natural killer cells can't shoot the bullets and kill, and they kill by these granules that just kind of say, you know, kill that cell. And we don't have that if you don't have the cell membranes with those. It's very important. They're just sensors. Mm-hmm. They're sensors. They're internal, intracellular. They're different on the mitochondrial membranes. They're different on the nuclear membranes. Just fascinating if, you know, if we could ever get to really study it in a way where we could, you know, just get the stigma out of there, use the biology, it would be a lot more fun than it is now. But we're having a lot of fun now because we can see people, especially in this, you know, in this particular time when people are starting to realize they've not been told the truth about a lot of things. Now they're a little more open-minded because we're able to heal. We're able to take people, you know, with COVID and calm it all down. Calm the cough. You can calm the cough if you calm the alveolar macrophage with endocannabinoids. It's very easy to do.
And so with those cannabinoids, and I mean, one other thing with, you know, we're talking about cancer. So with the CBN, you know, there's certain cancers, and also for the sleep, you know, CBD, you know, for other sets. And then where does like CBG come in? What role does it play?
Well, I probably don't know enough about just it alone because I'm always using things in. So CBGs, let's just say like anxiety. So itch is a type of pain. And we saw kids with vaccine injury, autism spectrum disorders, they'll literally scratch holes in themselves. And CBGs are going to help there more than some other things. Itch and anxiety. And that will go through some, we don't even know the receptors. We just have arrows going through the cells because we just don't know. Haven't been able to characterize exactly what the combination, and usually they're multimeric. There's more than one chain. There's more than one interaction. So you can't say with any kind of, this is that. That's why we call it an entourage effect. Because if you isolate, you make it more of a poison. So there are several drugs, GW pharmaceuticals and FDA approved drugs, and they're single target, and they become poison. They don't work the way your God-given endocannabinoid system works. So the phytocannabinoids used according to nature and more with the mixed batches, just as you would get from plants. But I would say, you know, so anxiety and itch and some of the others, the CBGs are going to be more important.
And that's what's so important is to, I mean, they come as a complex, and you have a team. So it's just like trying to fulfill a company's role with just one person. I mean, each person play a role and they all come together. You can't say that this is the one that runs the whole business and does, you know, with this one, everything works. With this one, everything works. They all come together in order to be able to create the action. So,
correct. So, and when you do that, like with TRPV1, mm-hmm. make a drug that blocks that sensor and you die before you sense the pain. It's a little like these drugs, Prilosec, Protonix, these proton pump inhibitors for acid reflux, they call it, or GERD. You don't feel the pain. They stop the fire trucks from going to the fire and you die of throat cancer because pain is a good thing. So, but too much pain. So that's when, you know, you have to try and find a way to back off nerve pain versus pounding. You know, how do you know I just touched you or I dropped a 400-pound rock on your foot? You know, that's sensed by your endocannabinoid system and various sensors. And so we're working out those sensors much like you would do, you know, to run electricity more smoothly or stop the shorting, multiple sclerosis. You know, that's the myelin sheath. So if you drive towards the mesenchymal stem cell, that would be totally CBDs. You can rebuild the myelin sheath on the end of nerves and diseases like multiple sclerosis and ALS and things like that. But with everything, it's more like you want to be consuming this over time, especially if you have any kind of like my throat issue. Mm-hmm. I have Barrett's esophagus, so that's a precancerous condition. So I'm on it pretty much every day. And if I don't, I will lose my voice. And they're just amazing. You can even get brain focus from the formulations. And I'm not the put it together from the plant. I'm the tell you the receptor I want you to modulate, because I don't care how you do it. And most of these things, again, they don't have to go in the cell. And if you know how to do it, like we like to take micron silver and then put some cannabinoids, so the micron silver won't go in the cell. We don't want to do everything nano, because God made those sensors in this, the gated ion channels in and out of cells. You don't want to change that necessarily. You just want to tickle the cell. So we can put various cannabinoids on and bind them to silver and other things. It's a really fabulous way to clear out the bloods, particularly parasites. We're having a lot of fun with mixing ivermectin and various pure energy, because that's G proteins. Those are those pathogen-associated molecular patterns. ATP is danger when there's energy outside the cell. That's danger, because you've got to have energy inside the cell to fuel every cellular process. So with respect to the pathogen associated molecular patterns, that's G proteins. We hear in COVID, oh, you lost your taste of sense and smell. Mm-hmm. And no, that's a G protein signaling processing program. That doesn't go inside the cell, it just senses. And so if you can keep those parts of the viruses, negative strand viruses and things from interacting, and especially the parasites, they don't go inside the cell. So if you can keep them away from the sensors and keep them, keep the cannabinoid receptor you want turned up, you'll sense their presence. You'll crosstalk with the G proteins, the GTP, and you can affect it very low doses. Well, that's what we tend to do the most. We use as low a dose possible, and we take advantage of synergies. Our formulations are always taking advantage of synergies and knowing how to put it together with some of the pharmaceutical products. That's where one of my patents is, using the prostate cancer drug Casodex. And that's associated with the inflammatory prostate cancer, is the one where it's endocannabinoid dysfunction. So we'll use various formulations with a lot of beta carotene, a little THC, a little CBN, and deliver it as a suppository and support it with mushrooms, mm-hmm. and adenosine, so that you've got that, you turn down the danger signals and tell everything it's all right. And it's a lot of fun, really. And that's the patent using, and then reishi mushrooms, you know, you're always going to find the best antifungals in mushrooms, because a reishi doesn't want to be a shiitake. And so they're targeted that way. And so if you know what you're looking at, and we don't usually it's usually just a real good sense of, you know, knowing the skin lesions, knowing eye, because we've got an ocular macrophage. And so you can even make a water soluble cannabinoid formulation and calm it for uveitis, some of the fibrosis, you know, the cataracts. That's just fibroblasts. That's why you don't want to use hemp, because it makes rope. And so my frustration with the whole legal thing is I need those other plants. I need the purple cushions and all the things they named all those years ago, because I want to look at the plants and appreciate how it was made in nature and where it is in nature and what its role is. And hemp is really great at rope and fiber. So I'd like to see us bring back hemp, because we can make a lot safer clothing, a lot stronger things, away from these dangerous toxic, you know, plastics and other kind of products that we move towards if we go back to, you know, hemp. But hemp in your eye is going to drive fibrosis,
cataracts,
and all those things. Your lungs, fibrosis, mm-hmm. COPD, mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the liver, fatty liver. So you can drive the diseases in the wrong way if you don't appreciate the system and the differences and things.
So the full spectrum hemp products that you get, that would drive that type of a process. Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes, yeah. If you do a full spectrum from hemp, but if I take a full spectrum from one of the other strains of cannabis, not hemp, where you're 50-50 THC, CBD, your two main signaling channels there, you can do a lot more with a lot less. So some of the problems when you use hemp, which is, in the legal is something like less than 3%. And now they're saying pull it all out. Well, when you pull it all out and use that's broad spectrum formulations, then you don't get anything correct. And it's like decaffeinating your coffee. That makes it poison. The caffeine is a purinergic modulator. It's a natural antioxidant in food. If it bothers you, your heart races or something, it means you have something else going on, a disease process, an inflammatory process. And you need to think about it, not drink decaffeinated coffee. It's like Protonix and things like that, just sensors on cells. So you have to just, it's really a lot of fun. I don't know how to explain it in a way that would have your audience. Well, they're obviously not formulators. So for practitioners, it's I would use a, and we do this when we, you want to, like Charlotte's Web strain is fabulous for seizures. And then we've listed their entire books, one I believe one by Stephen Herod Buhner, which I use a lot of his natural products for things like that, various fermentations, and they go through every one of the plants and show you all the CBNs and the CBGs and the things that we know of, and they're almost like biomarkers to say, okay, if all of those are there, then some other things are there. Because what you want to do is less is more. So the less you can use according to nature, the better off you are in any drug development. So we just take advantage of those synergies. And then we don't need to use high dose chemotherapy like Casodex. That's where our patents are. It's just nutritional support. But we ran clinical trials with them and with those other formulations with the adenosine and with the reishi. And there was Scutellaria. I was actually looking at some of those formulations we did a long time ago just to, see what we could do now, because, we weren't able to make those drugs or get them through the FDA because they don't want you to cure anybody. So,
And they can't make any money on it.
and they can't make any money on it.
No.
So for $100 a month, though,
Yeah.
you can heal, you can stay well. I mean, for everything that's going on right now, there's probably nobody that shouldn't have a cannabinoid, a CBD, CBN for sleep all the time. And should be taking, a sleep formula just because it's so healing.
And where can people go for good quality? Because there's obviously you go out there and it's everywhere.
Yeah.
This store of CBD, CBG, so where can people go for good quality?
Well, I would not go in a store, and mainly because what you want is to know from the chain of command. And they would call them certificate of analysis of everything in the process all along the way. So we use various, I mean, it depends on the state and what's legal in the state. So we have the Cytogen line of products and the Hemp Mind and Body in the PMA in our ministry, like Dove Ministry, because that allows us to use more THC. So the Cytogen products are primarily CBD, where we've had to take out all the THC and bring back things like beta-carotene, the adaptogens. And they do work. It does help to use the hops and some of the other terpenes in order to help the effects. It just becomes more complicated. So there are a lot of good online stores. I think of a lot of different manufacturers and products like Nessa. It's just going to a local, you definitely don't want to be in a dispensary, and because you just don't know, because that stem is one of your world's best heavy metal detoxifiers. So if you smoke it, if you eat it, and you don't know where
Get
it
all
came
those heavy
from,
metals and glyphosates and all the chemicals that
you almost have to grow indoors. We even use various coconut husks, and we know the manufacturers that make the soils you can grow it in, because again, it's going to take all the toxins in the plant growing. There's so much metal in the air, the aluminum and all they're spraying, that that gets on an outdoor plant. So the where you can go is difficult. There is a get healthy store that's a green get healthy store. The Cytogen line of products we've been working with, they had set up a while back something called CBD Authority. So what they did is they went through a lot of the manufacturers and they checked the boxes that the certificate of analyses were there. So we tend to do a lot of that too, which is just look at it and tell you the product. So I've been working in the last year just to identify as many great products as I can and get them in the stores. We found a number of them, even just in the last. That's why I come to events like today, because if you've got one and it's oh good, that I like that formulation, and we just call up whoever runs the store and say, hey, can you get this here? And she says, fine, where's the contact? And I just tell her the manufacturer, and we get it there, because that's the idea, is to make it easier to distribute so people don't get a hold of the wrong things. We just teach the practitioners what to buy. So we can certainly set you up with whatever, the manufacturers. For me, it's different because I'm in California, and so I have to. That's easy for me. We use Verde Vida, which is that cannabis juice. I know Michaela well for decades, and so there are a lot of good things out there. It's there, and a lot more people are doing it a lot better. And we just have to educate, as you're trying to do on. I'm teaching everybody it's not a drug, it's food. It's okay. You certainly don't want to be too high, but you cannot die from cannabis. Nobody ever has, unlike the opioids and driving that. They're not addictive. You have to be careful with intestinal motility and things like that if you use THC young, so we have to think about nursing mothers and where they are and what's going on. But for that, it's just a matter of applying in a balm. If you take a balm formula and you just put it right on the back of your neck, that'll calm kids instantly down, and because it goes right through the blood-brain barrier. So if you formulate that in a nice oil and it's warm, it calms these kids down when they're really aggressive. It's fabulous for some of these, injuries, vaccine injuries, and psychosis, OCD, ADHD, calming the itch, just calm it all down. That's all dysregulation of those sensors that tell you everything's okay. I think of it as a pinball machine, or your iPhone just on tilt. Just everything's popping, and you just have to come. It's so easy to do because God gave us these fabulous systems, and they work. And that's why if you eat the plant and or the meat, because other animals have. That we can keep our animals healthy too. So cannabis will cure lymphoma in dogs, and so yeah, and lots of things. We've used it on our dogs on skin diseases. Those are the best places. So just put the little in their food, and they heal. So and because they have endocannabinoid systems too, and so it's a way to keep viruses from being activated. It keeps everything latent and silenced through that DNA method, that epigenetic machinery. It says we're okay, because when you turn on the switch, you send out all the flame.
Yeah, and they get all the inflammation going and everything. So how much, so you said the best is kind of a 50-50 ratio, THC, C, and this the
For
CBD.
inflammatory cancers,
Yeah.
for seizures, you don't want any THC at
No.
all. That the best, some of the best are the Charlotte Webb strains and those hemp strains. Those make the best seizure medications and
Okay.
things like that. And anxiety and sleep, a little more CBN and CBG. It's a matter of just formulating and knowing your plants. And I just go to the growers, and I know the people who grow it, but
Yeah.
and as do many others. I know Dr. Newsom has here in town has a good cannabis formulation that he's mixed with some fulvic. And so
Yeah.
we can take advantage of a lot of different detox pathways and synergies and do a lot of healing. And that is the benefit and the joy of where we are now because we're at that place where people are just starting to see there's a better way with natural products and our God taking advantage of our God-given endogenous systems, you know, whether it be the glutathione, vitamin D, they're all God-given. And God didn't make mistakes. All you need is clean amino acids and clean, you know, phytonutrients. And it's hard to get those in the world of GMOs.
So what kind of quantity for somebody battling cancer? I mean, what kind of quantity are we talking about for a person? Yeah, what is too much? I mean, you said there's nothing too much, but what is enough?
Yeah, if you're looking at a cancer like a multiple myeloma, and you're supporting, let's just say rituximab, which is a frontline therapy for these things, we would use just, you know, one or two of the juice a day. The cold extracted juice, just to keep all the toxins running through out of your gut, the dead cells as the cancer's resolving, keep down the pain, keep you eating. You know, cachexia is the biggest problem. TNF, you can't eat, nothing tastes good, you know, because the cancer is using all your fuel. And so in that case, sometimes we'll even use a gram suppository. If people are in really aggressive cancer states, we'll use a gram suppository to really hit hard, and see if you do it suppository, you won't get too high. But if you ingest, you know, the frozen juice won't in any way have you high. You'll just be relaxed. So you can't overdo the juice, but it's, you know, not the world's most pleasant.
No.
So it and that kind of keeps you from it. So and if you overdose, if you have, there's really no overdosing because it's just food. So you'll get the munchies, you'll get hungry, or you'll fall asleep, which was the goal. You'll relax, you'll calm down. A lot of times because so many people haven't had those receptors activated for so long. And slow metabolizers of anything, it can take 2 or 3 hours to hit you to where you notice it. So you want to be really careful about slowly working and slowly just do, like, we'll do a rice grain in a capsule. We'll do just one capsule. We'll do just a half mil of a tincture, and you'll work your way up and you see how you're doing on that day, because it'll catch up to you and you can literally fall down and hurt yourself if you all of a sudden you're like, whoa. And so, and if you're on some chemotherapy, so especially some of the opioids, you will vomit. Because it's going to detox you. And so you'll get serious vomiting and diarrhea. It will get you off of those drugs if you go, but it's a classic DDT kind of the shakes and everything. So that's uncomfortable for most folks. So you could support it with GABA and some other things, but we try to stay away from that. We just work our way up. But if it's a serious cancer situation, like the multiple myeloma one, we gave her everything. We gave her at least a gram a day in a suppository, and we didn't care if she slept all day. Enough in the juice to, because we needed to heal the bone, and the osteoblasts needed to build them up and not the clasp break them down. And see, when you're driving towards that fat pathway, too much toxin, a really aggressive cancer is too much toxin. So, you can't metabolize food and you can't pathway. So,
and the juice was the one that was stimulating the osteoblast to repair.
Yeah, and it's just detoxing. It's just it's just green. Just, you know, you'll even your urine and your feces will smell like cannabinoids. So that's when you know you got enough. When you're using it all up, So then and you know, the person just over a week or so, and you want to have somebody with them and a practitioner, you know, kind of hanging out. But yeah, you know, when it's not difficult. That's why it's fun when it's food. Because, you know, it's not difficult to, and we're always, I'm almost always using it with the chemotherapy or with the radiation, because, you know, I know that, you know, God wants us to realize even if people keep poisoning themselves with these things, we can. You know, the taxpayers have paid for an awful lot of fabulous drugs.
Yeah.
We just don't use them right.
No.
We don't use them at the right time and the right patient and the right amount because, you know, it doesn't make money if you microdose things. So a lot of things are really microdosed and just, it just depends, you know, it really depends on the area of the cancer too. And you know, we look at everything, the skin, the everything, just your hair, if you're going real gray and just things you could tell. But again, you don't want the cannabinoids until you fix the cell membranes. Mm-hmm. So you got to debulk some of the time because the cannabinoids won't help you if you can't debulk the tumor. At least you won't notice it. It could help you, but
You still would need the surgery, or you still would need some of the chemo to kind of shrink it. Or remove it.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you know, the cell membranes, you know, talking about the oils and to kind of make that healthy.
Yeah. We'll see breast lesions.
Yeah.
And we'll put it on the breast lesion. We'll take it internally and we'll use the chemotherapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it helps.
Yeah.
Right after surgery, we're putting it right on the surgical because again, TGF-beta's goal is wound healing.
Yeah.
But wound healing too much is a tumor. It's fibrosis.
Yeah.
So you want TGF-beta to feed back and turn off. So we're watching the wound healing. So when you cut in a surgery, when you do a chemotherapy, that's creating a wound, that's creating an injury, and we're following it up with a cannabinoid preparation too.
And that's with the cannabinoids, you know, because obviously, you know, fibrosis, you know, that's when the signaling is not taking place appropriately. So the body doesn't know what appropriate skin healing would be.
Yeah, there's no dimmer switch. Yeah. It just keeps winding rope around the wound, and it doesn't realize that it's already fixed.
Yeah, so the endocannabinoids will help then to control so that the communication takes place appropriately, so the tissue will be healed appropriately because there's that right communication in the body.
Correct. And it really hits at the heart. It gets to the root cause. You know, and so it's really a curative when you're using it for pain and things like that. It's part of curative strategies. And so it's really not just masking. It's not just shutting down the signaling. It's healing at the same time. So you have to take a little bit of pain and see how it's working and see how it goes along. But I mean, I'll get activation of my XMRVs and I'll start coughing and I'll just use a eucalyptus. So you do other essential oils like mentholatum and like you used to do on your chest and eucalyptus. And I'll just put that right there and I'll formulate the cannabis in that and drive it into the lungs if I can, because I can't, I never smoke anything, but you can, some of the vape pens if you're trying to drive it, but then you want to really clean those. I work with the formulators who I know the guys that make the good stuff and we use the good stuff. Most of it's on our website, therealdrjudy.com, and you can find, we even took Zev Zelenko's Z-Stack and added CBD. And that all you needed was CBD stop you from coughing, you know, because if you cough and cough and cough, that just drives and drives and drives more. And it'll even clear mucus. You know, you can drive toward a TH9 or things like that. It's just appreciating pathways. That's a lot of what, as you know, what I talk about, how to take advantage of the crosstalk. And I'm looking at the cell sensors on the surface.
Yeah.
Just trying to make the charge run. That's all.
Yeah. And kind of at the end, I mean, now we talked a lot about the cancer, but this relates to so much. I mean, because cancer is obviously when the body is gone, you know, too far, the body can't compensate anymore. But then if you just look for kind of like regenerative medicine and preventative medicine, I mean, obviously to have these signaling system functioning optimally is key. And also that will then control a lot of the inflammatory processes because we know like inflammaging, you know, the inflammation isn't driving the aging process. So if we're able then to have these dimmer switches, so to say, to be able to turn on and turn off inflammation appropriately, then that is regenerative medicine.
Right. And knowing CB1s on the mesenchymal stem cell regenerate, you know, the tissue, the connective tissue, and CB2 is on the hematopoietic. So inflammaging is loss of balance between the two. And that's where that OPG and that rankle, that whole bone osteoporosis, you know, you don't throw, you know, that's a endocannabinoid deficiency, osteoporosis, any of these bone and degenerative, so regenerative. We've seen disc, and in fact, you can photomodulate. You can put some, you know, a methylene blue and cannabinoids in the balm and photomodulate and just drive oxygen into the tissue and into the joint and have regenerative medicine right there in some of the stenosis that we see in a lot. So yeah, there it is at the heart, regenerative medicine, because they're on the stem cells and the resident stem cell macrophage of every organ system can regenerate. You know, you don't have to keep peeling cataracts off your eye, off your lens. All you have to do is use a cannabinoid and other containing eye drops. And so target, that's regenerative medicine, target the tissue compartment only that's gone awry. And again, yeah, the dimmer switch of the flame is on the stem cells. And that's why you can regenerate if you appreciate, you know, how to turn down the flame.
Well, Dr. Judy, thank you so much. I mean, the knowledge you bring to the world and this time when we really need it. I mean, we're seeing a lot of these chronic diseases like cancer really accelerate, and we're moving towards like one out of two, you know, soon to be dealing with cancer at some point. And so to kind of focus on regenerative medicine and preventative, but then obviously if you get into that position, to have tools that are safe and effective. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. They're perfectly safe by God.
Yeah, I love it.